Have been focusing really through this whole year talking about getting to know God better and experiencing a relationship with God, and our focus here lately has been getting to know Jesus in all these different ways that the Bible describes Jesus in these different capacities and who he really is. And this morning we're going to focus on Jesus and the claims that Jesus makes about himself being the bread of life. Okay, so that's where we're going. John chapter 6, open your Bible there. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. And we begin this morning with the question, what are you working for? Okay, now, you know, most of us, we go out and we work in our jobs and we understand that what we're working for is a paycheck, right? Okay. But we have to understand there's more to life than just simply working for a paycheck. And so I ask this question this morning as we begin because it's a question or an issue that Jesus addresses with the people that have gathered and kind of chased after him on this occasion. What's taken place is that Jesus has just previously fed 5,000 people. He's there preaching to the people. It's getting late. Disciples say, hey, you know, it's getting late. People need to go find something to eat. He said, you feed them. They said, we don't have a whole lot. You understand, I'm paraphrasing here. They end up feeding 5,000 people with some loaves and some fish. They gather when they're finished feeding everybody. They end up gathering 12 baskets full of leftovers, okay? Now, I don't know how you feel about leftovers, all right? When I was growing up, I never really cared a whole lot for leftovers very much. I still don't care a whole lot for leftovers unless there's something that I really, really, really like, okay? There's some things I really enjoy leftovers, but you know, we have this idea about leftovers. The folks here on this occasion had plenty of leftovers, okay, and they still weren't satisfied. No, they were filled for that particular occasion. But I want you to pick up the text with me. John chapter 6. Here's what's going on. After they had been filled in eating all of this food that they had, and the leftovers were collected, look at what he tells us here in verse 15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, that's an important statement there that kind of gives us some insight into what's going on, not only in the mind of Jesus, but in particularly in the mind of the people that Jesus had just fed. Okay? If you go back and you begin to understand what the people were really looking for, then a lot of the things that Jesus is going to say in this story here will really make a lot more sense to us. The people are looking at that particular time for an earthly king who's going to come and drive out the Romans out of their land, is going to take care of them, provide for them, and give them everything that they want so they'll be happy. Okay? They are looking for a physical fulfillment, okay? And Jesus has just given them, to a certain extent, physical fulfillment. He just fed them. And they're impressed by what they saw. So much so, and they're looking for this Messiah, that they're ready to take Jesus and make him their king. Even if they have to do that by force. We'll make him be our king if he doesn't want to. Okay? And Jesus knows that that's what's in their minds, so he withdraws from them. He just gets away from the crowd. Okay? He goes to a solitary place up on the mountain. The disciples leave. Okay? And the disciples are out on the water, and the next section here, beginning in verse 16, is going to tell us about Jesus coming to them as he's walking on top of the water. Okay? But what happens here is, if you look at, pick up in verse 24, the disciples are gone, Jesus is gone, and the people realize that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there. They go into their boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. They're looking for him. Where is this Jesus? What happened to him? Where did he go? In verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" So this is the setting for what Jesus is about to tell them and challenge them with. They're looking for Jesus. They're ready to make him king. And Jesus says this to them, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Now, what's happening here is Jesus is basically making a contrast between two different kinds of food. One that spoils and one that brings life. Okay? In other words, it's physical food versus spiritual food. And Jesus points out to them and challenges them with the thought that, look, the only reason you're chasing after me is because you want some more physical food. In other words, and think about this a minute, they have missed the point of the miracle that Jesus performed in giving them that food. Look at what he says here. "You're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves." They missed the miracle. Why? Because they were focused on the physical instead of the spiritual. The miracle just kind of, you know, went right on past them. In other words, how does someone take five loaves and two fish and feed 5,000 people? What would our answer be? It was a miracle. What was their answer? They don't care as long as they get fed. They miss the miracle completely. Why? Because they're working for food that will spoil. And Jesus is challenging them, saying, "You're working for the wrong kind of food here. You need to work for food that brings life. And that's the food that I will provide." Jesus had a very similar conversation with the woman of Samaria that's recorded for us in John chapter 4. Okay? When he goes there to the well and the woman is there, he asks her to give him something to drink. And this conversation begins between the two of them. If you go over there to John chapter 4 and look at beginning in verse 10. When the woman responds to Jesus' request to give him something to drink, she's going, "You know, why is it that you, a Jew, can ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you something to drink?" And Jesus says, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, look at this, verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And look at the woman's response. "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." You see, again, the challenge is trying to get people to stop thinking in a physical realm and to think spiritually. And as Jesus is talking to this woman, she's locked into this physical. If I could just have this water you're talking about, I won't have to keep coming here and get more water all the time. Okay? And so Jesus challenges us and this whole idea of what our daily provisions are in terms of food and drink with spiritual thoughts. Are you looking for, are you working for the wrong things? You see? Are you only focusing on the physical and you're missing out on the spiritual? Now, we go from that particular point. The next question is, what kind of bread are you eating? Okay? I don't know if you know this or not. I won't charge you any extra for this morning. This is a freebie, okay? There's a new study that came out that says that white bread is really not bad for you at all. Like, they've been kind of condemning white bread here, over the last couple of decades, and you're supposed to be eating the wheat bread and the multigrains and all that kind of stuff. And now this new study comes out. I think it was funded by Wonder Bread. No, I'm just kidding. This new study just came out, and they said white bread is not harmful to you. It's good bread to eat and blah, 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 blah. You can take that for whatever it's worth. It doesn't cost you anything extra. My point is there's a whole lot of choices out there in there. You see? And even white bread is back on the list of choices. Okay? And so we have to make choices as to what kind of bread we're going to eat, don't we? But again, the challenge that I want to put before you is what Jesus put. Stop thinking in terms of white or wheat or multigrain and start thinking in terms of spiritual bread. Okay? What kind of bread are you eating? Looking, go down in this conversation that Jesus is having with this group of people. These are followers, by the way. We're going to see that even more in just a moment. That Jesus is teaching and challenging them with some very, very important teachings here. But go down to verse 48 when Jesus makes this claim. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Does that sound familiar? Well, we just talked about it. Anyone drinks this water, they're going to get thirsty again. But anyone drinks the water I give him, he will never thirst. You see, Jesus is challenging his disciples. He's challenging you and I today to be looking at the right kinds of food. What kind of bread are we eating? Some of it, we're going to eat it, and we're going to feel good. We're going to go, wow, that was a great sandwich. But a little while later, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to go make another one. See, because you're going to get hungry again. Because that's how the physical body was designed. But if you fill yourself with Jesus, you're not going to have to go find another Jesus to fill yourself with. See? You're not going to have to go find another spiritual point that you can fill yourself with. Jesus is the only one that can fill us, and we don't need anything else. See? That's what he wants us to understand. With the physical food, and we have to have that. Jesus isn't denying that we got to eat. He created our bodies to need food. That's not his point. But if our focus is purely on the physical, our physical needs, then we're missing the point of the spiritual. And we will be hungry when we die. See? And so that challenge, Jesus says, look, I'm the bread of life. Now, what you have to understand is the Jews, that's where these disciples are from. These are Jewish disciples that are following Jesus right now. Their focus and their emphasis and their pride, okay, was on the fact that they are descendants of Moses. And what did Moses do? He gave them, according to their understanding, he gave them manna when they were in the desert. Now, not this generation, but their ancestors. But to them, it was the same thing. Moses gave us manna in the wilderness, they said. And Jesus counteracts that by saying, yeah, and guess what happened to them? They died. See? Because that's what happens to the physical body. You can eat manna every day, and God provided it every day for them, didn't He? He gave them their daily sustenance of manna in the desert. When they didn't like that and they got complaining about that, what else did He do for them? He gave them quail till it was coming out their nostrils. Okay? And yet they still died in the wilderness. Why? Because spiritually they had left God. So the physical manna is not going to save them. Physical stuff today is not going to save us spiritually either. We've got to have the spiritual food, and that spiritual food is Jesus. Your forefathers, He said, ate manna and they died. Anyone who eats of Me, He says, will live forever. Now, there have been throughout, you know, the ages of history since early Christendom, that people in early Christians by some were accused of being cannibals because of what Jesus says here. This whole idea of eating someone's flesh and drinking someone's blood. Well, Jesus was not speaking literally here, that they were to go up and take a bite out of His arm and eat it. Okay? Again, He's talking spiritually. And so, literally, what the term here is focusing on, think about it this way, Jesus is saying to these followers, He's saying to you and I today, unless you consume Me into your life, the word here is consume, okay, you have no life in you. When we consume something, okay, let's talk physical for a minute. You consume something into your life, into your body, what happens? You are what you eat, right? You see? So that, it becomes part of you. And if you eat too much of it, like I tend to do at times, it becomes too much of a part of me. Okay? But physically, that's what happens. What we eat, it sustains our body and it becomes part of us. And so Jesus is using that concept to tell His disciples and to challenge them and say, look, spiritually what I want you to do is to consume Me into your life, you see, so that I become a part of you. If you are what you eat, if you consume Jesus into your life, then what do you become? Like Him. And that's what the challenge is. You see, quit focusing on just simply the physical needs that you have and focus on the spiritual. That I can give you. Now, last part we come to is the statement I have there. You don't like this bread? You know, some people don't like white bread. Some people don't like wheat bread. Some people don't like whole grain. That's why we eat what we eat, because we like it. And there are some things we don't like. And that was the case with Jesus' disciples. They didn't like this bread. See? Jesus is offering them the bread of life, and they didn't like it. Okay? Look down there at verse 60. And look at what, after Jesus is giving these teachings and challenging these disciples on what they are eating, okay, so to speak, look at what their response is. Verse 60, on hearing it, many of His disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Basically what they're saying is, I don't like this bread. That's what He's offering to them. I don't like this bread, is their response. Now, typically today, for a lot of preachers, somebody says, hey, preacher, I don't like what you say. And the preacher might go, well, okay, wait a minute. Let's talk about this a minute. I didn't really mean it that way. Wait a minute. Don't leave. But that's one of the things that we don't see happening here, do we? Okay. these disciples, and you have to understand, these are people that had already decided they were going to follow Jesus. They liked what they were seeing. They liked what they were hearing. They liked what they were getting, you know, from Him. And so they were following Him. This is not the crowd of the Jews who were antagonistic toward Jesus. These are people who had already, to some degree in their life, had put their faith in Jesus, and they were following Him. That's why they're referred to here as disciples. Okay? And yet, some of them said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And Jesus, aware of what they're thinking, He says here, verse 61, does this offend you? He challenges them on that. You don't like this bread? Okay? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where He was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Again, in other words, what He's doing is challenging them on this whole physical, spiritual thing here. Okay? You're still focusing on the physical. And you're missing out on the spiritual food that will give you real life. And look at verse 66. From this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. They weren't getting what they wanted from Jesus. And so they quit following Him. Now, again, the interesting thing that happens here is what Jesus doesn't do. Okay? And I've said this times before, you know, there's a lot of things we can learn from the Bible. And we read the Bible and we say, well, what does the Bible tell us about this or about that? And we learn a lot of things from that. But this is a valuable lesson here in something that the Bible doesn't say. Okay? And what I mean by that is what it doesn't say here is that Jesus, like I said before, many today would be, Jesus doesn't run after these folks and say, wait a minute, whoa, you misunderstood what I said. Let me change that. Let me rephrase that. I didn't really mean it that way. Don't leave. Jesus didn't do any of that, did He? Instead, what did He do? He turned to the 12, that is, His apostles. He turned to them and said, do you want to leave too? In other words, is this too hard a saying for you to continue following me too? You see, that's an important statement. Do you want to leave too? In other words, are the teachings of Jesus becoming too difficult for you to continue to follow that you're just going to stop following Him? Is your physical life, your physical world in such an upheaval and things maybe aren't going the way they are, so you said, hey, look, God's not taking care of me. You know, this whole Jesus thing, it's just too difficult. I'm not going to do it anymore. Or are you willing to continue to follow Him in response in the same way that Peter responded to Jesus' challenge? It's your choice. You can either turn and quit following Him, or you can say something like what Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? No one else have the words of eternal life. Okay? That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus being the bread of life is all about. No one else provides the nourishment spiritually that Jesus does. I don't know if you saw it or not. I saw on the news this morning the Dalai Lama has been making a tour around Virginia. Yesterday, I understand he was over in Charlottesville. Again, bunches and bunches of people came out to listen to him. You know, good guy. He's talking about, you know, peace and love and all that kind of stuff. And as many people want to follow him and what he's doing because he's given this great message, what they don't understand is this is not to knock the Dalai Lama. He can't give them what Jesus can give them. You say? It's not going to happen. And neither can any other religious leader, myself included. I can't give that to you. Only Jesus can. I can guide you. I can encourage you. I can challenge you. But I can't give it to you. Only Jesus can. Why? Because only He has the words of eternal life. And so, the question comes back down to, what kind of bread are you eating? What are you working for? You say, what are you working for? Is your life all caught up in and focused on the physical needs that you have in life? Can you separate those? That the fact that, yes, you need those things, but that's not the focus of your life. The focus of your life is the spiritual. So you're recognizing that Jesus is the one who provides that life. You chase after that. So, what kind of bread are you eating? We come to a time when, you know, we offer an invitation. And the purpose of that is to give anybody the opportunity to be able to come and to say, hey, maybe on this occasion it's a recognition that says, you know, I've been eating the wrong kind of food. I've been focusing on the physical and not enough on the spiritual. And if that's what's been going on in your life, then we want to encourage you. We want to help you to change that focus. But we can't do that if we don't know that's what's happening with you. So we offer an opportunity for you to come and say, hey, help me out here. Maybe somebody here this morning that recognizes that your life has been all caught up in the physical and your life of sin has been separating you from God, and you're ready to make a commitment to give your life to Him and allow Him to fill you spiritually. Well, if that's where you are this morning and you're ready to become a Christian, then you can do that right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the giver of life, then confess Him as such. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. That's part of what we're doing in this time. It's available to do that. If you have some other need that we can help you with, all you got to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Ted will be in the back. If you'd rather have a private prayer discussion with him back there, he'll be back there to receive you. We're here to help out with whatever we can. Let's stand together and sing. Wes, come on up.